Imagine like a highly sophisticated team of thieves, and they are breaking into this fortress-like bank. They disable all the alarms, they bypass the biometric scanners, and they slip right past the armed guards.
Right.
But when they finally reach the absolute center of the building, they completely ignore the vault. Like, the vault is full of cash, but they don't even look at it.
Yeah, they walk right by.
Exactly. Instead, they break into this dusty filing cabinet in the back, and they steal the architectural blueprints to the building itself.
Which sounds crazy, right?
It does. Why would you do that? Well, because in today's landscape, that blueprint is actually worth infinitely more than the gold inside the vault.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So, welcome to this deep dive. Today, our mission is to uncover the invisible supply chain of cyber threats. We all rely on this really complex digital architecture to, run our infrastructure, buy our groceries, facilitate our daily transactions.
Pretty much everything we do.
Right. But we are looking at what happens when the underlying trust built into that architecture is quietly weaponized against us.
And it is a profound shift in threat modeling. I
Yeah.
mean, we have a stack of recent incident reports and threat intelligence briefings today that highlight exactly how this is playing out.
Across every layer, really.
Yeah, across every layer of the internet, from these
Yeah.
massive cloud environments all the way down to local e-commerce deployments.
Yeah, so we are looking at two seemingly disparate events today. First, we've got the breach of the backend infrastructure at Grafana.
Right.
And second, this highly insidious active exploit targeting the front-end checkout pages of WooCommerce stores.
Two very different targets.
Very different. They seem worlds apart, honestly. But the underlying vulnerability, which is really how systems manage or, rather mismanage assumed trust, it's fundamentally the same.
It's the exact same core issue.
Okay, let's unpack this. Starting with the back-end incident at Grafana, the forensic reports we're looking at confirm that an unauthorized party managed to compromise a token and access Grafana's GitHub environment.
And, the initial access vector is really crucial here.
Yep.
When an attacker compromises a high-privileged token, so like a personal access token or maybe an overly permissive service account, they are essentially bypassing the entire perimeter.
Like having a VIP pass.
Exactly. Standard conditional access policies or web application firewalls, they won't flag the activity
Yeah.
because to the system, the token presents as a fully authenticated, legitimate user.
The system is just like, oh, welcome back.
Right. So the attacker just walked right in and cloned Grafana's proprietary code base.
He's downloaded the whole thing. But, and this is a major caveat emphasized in Grafana's forensic analysis and their subsequent public statements on X, absolutely zero customer data or personal information was accessed.
Not at all.
There was zero impact on customer operations. Which brings us back to that bank blueprint analogy.
Yeah, it fits
If
perfectly.
you don't get the user data, like the PII, the credit cards, if they didn't get the customer data, it's like a thief stealing the architectural blueprints to a bank, but never actually setting foot in the vault, right? So why is this a big deal?
Well, what's fascinating here is the evolution of the extortion economy. Today, the code base itself is the hostage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you don't need the customer data to turn a profit anymore. So the attacker immediately contacted Grafana and demanded a ransom.
Unbelievable.
And they threatened to leak the entire proprietary code base to the public internet if their demands weren't met.
Which is just a terrifying pressure tactic. I mean, exposing a company's source code doesn't just hand proprietary intellectual property over to
No,
competitors.
it's much worse than that.
It effectively crowdsources vulnerability discovery.
Yeah.
You are basically letting every other threat actor on the planet comb through your code line by line at their total leisure.
Yeah, looking for whatever they can find.
Right, looking for undiscovered zero-day flaws to just exploit your infrastructure later.
That is precisely the threat. It forces the victim into this really high-stakes corner. However, Grafana drew a hard line here.
Good for them.
Yeah, they immediately invalidated the compromised credentials. They rotated their secrets, implemented enhanced security measures across their whole development pipeline, and they just flat out refused to pay the extortion demand.
They just said no.
They said no, and they pointed directly to the FBI's operational guidelines regarding ransomware and extortion.
Because the FBI's stance is notoriously rigid on this, paying offers zero guarantee. I mean, you are basically taking a cyber criminal's word that they will destroy the data and won't just, sell it on a dark web forum anyway.
Which they often do.
Right. Plus, you are actively funding the research and development of the very syndicates that are attacking you.
Exactly.
But I mean, let's be real and look at the brutal calculus of that decision. Because just days prior to the Grafana incident, our source material highlights a completely different response from an ed tech company called Instructure.
Yeah, Instructure provides a highly illustrative contrast here.
It really does.
They were targeted by an extortion group known as Shiny Hunters. But unlike Grafana, Instructure wasn't facing the loss of source code.
No.
They were facing the imminent leak of terabytes of highly sensitive data belonging to thousands of schools and universities across the U.S.
Which means?
The personal data of minors, students, and educators.
Yeah. And when faced with that specific threat profile, Instructure chose to settle. They paid the extortionists.
It's a totally different dynamic.
It is. It shows that drawing a hard line, like Grafana did, is really a luxury you can only afford when the collateral damage is limited to your own intellectual property.
That's a great point.
When the threat actor has the personal info of children, the calculus completely flips.
Yeah, these groups understand the psychological pressure points of a board of directors.
Oh, absolutely.
And they exploit that agony for a maximum financial return.
It's ruthless. And it really highlights the industrialization of the attackers themselves. Because, you know, Grafana hasn't officially attributed their incident yet, but the threat intelligence community, specifically those reports we have from Hackmanack and Ransomware.live, they are pointing toward a relatively new group calling itself Coinbase Cartel.
Yeah, Coinbase Cartel.
And the data on them from Halcyon and Fortinet FortiGuard Labs is staggering. This group only emerged in September 2025.
Very recently.
Right. Yet they have already amassed 170 victims across healthcare, technology, transportation, manufacturing, and business services.
It's a massive scale.
It is. And I have to push back on the idea of them being a quote-unquote new group, though.
Yeah, I agree.
You don't just build the infrastructure to compromise and extort 170 enterprise targets in a few months from scratch. That requires a massive, massive operation.
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the threat intelligence assesses that Coinbase Cartel is essentially a rebrand.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, they're a spinoff of highly established syndicates. Mm. They have deep roots tying back to Shiny Hunters, the very group that extorted Instructure, as well as notorious ecosystems like LAPSSES and Scattered Spider.
Scattered Spider, they are infamous for their aggressive social engineering and SIM swapping tactics.
But they're relentless.
They don't just, like, brute force firewalls. They actually call up the IT help desk, pretending to be an employee, and just convince the technician to reset a multi-factor authentication token.
And that really speaks to the gig economy of modern cybercrime.
Yeah.
We have to discard this outdated notion of a lone hacker in a hoodie typing furiously in a basement.
Right, the movie hacker.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a highly compartmentalized, cartel-like supply chain.
Wow.
You have initial access brokers, the IABs, and their entire business model is simply breaching perimeters.
That's all they do.
That's it. They might use the social engineering tactics of Scattered Spider to steal a high-level session cookie, but they don't deploy the ransomware themselves.
Oh, so they just sell the entry point.
Right. They sell that access on underground forums to a group like Coinbase Cartel.
So Coinbase Cartel hits the ground running because they are literally just purchasing the keys to the kingdom from the IABs.
Exactly.
They specialize entirely in the data exfiltration, the psychological pressure of the negotiation, and the actual extortion part.
They're specialists.
They share infrastructure, they use ransomware as a service affiliate models, and then when law enforcement gets too close, they simply disband the brand and reform under a new moniker.
Yeah, they just change the logo and keep going.
The speed of their operations is a direct function of that gig economy structure.
Which is exactly why the back-end access is so critical. The cartels use the capital generated from these massive corporate extortions to fund further research and development.
Right.
And that R&D often trickles down into attacks that target the everyday consumer.
It always trickles down.
Always. The syndicates buying up back-end access are frequently part of the same broader financial networks that are funding front-end skimming campaigns.
Okay, so let's follow that thread to the second major intelligence report we have today, which is from the security firm SanSec.
Yeah, this one is wild.
We are moving from this high-level corporate extortion down to direct financial theft right at the point of sale. SanSec discovered a critical, actively exploited flaw in a WordPress plugin called Funnel Builder.
Maintained by FunnelKit.
Right. And this is a tool used heavily to customize checkout pages for WooCommerce storefronts.
Yeah, the scale of this vulnerability is deeply concerning.
Yeah.
Before FunnelKit released the patch, which is in version 3.15.0.3, this flawed code was sitting active in over 40,000 WooCommerce stores.
40,000? That's a huge footprint.
Huge. And what makes this particularly dangerous for defenders is the total lack of an official CVE identifier.
Right, the common vulnerabilities and exposures list. And I'd argue the lack of a CVE is a symptom of a much larger issue in the security community right now.
Oh, absolutely.
The National Vulnerability Database has been facing massive processing backlogs.
Just totally overwhelmed.
Yeah. And if a vulnerability doesn't have a CVE, it basically doesn't exist to automated systems. It doesn't get ingested into standard vulnerability scanner.
No, it flies completely under the radar.
So unless a security operations center is actively monitoring specialized threat intel feeds like SANSEC, their automated tooling is completely blind to this. The defenders don't even know they are exposed.
And that blind spot is exactly what the attackers are exploiting here.
Of course.
The mechanics of this vulnerability are rooted in a fundamental failure of authorization logic. According to SANSEC, older versions of the Funnel Builder plugin had a publicly exposed checkout endpoint.
And an endpoint, just to clarify in this context, is effectively the ATI interface where the plugin expects to receive data, right?
Right, exactly.
But the flaw wasn't just that it was exposed to the public. It was that it failed to sanitize or restrict the incoming requests at all.
Yeah, think of it in terms of application routing. The endpoint didn't just accept standard checkout data.
Okay.
Because of a failure in how it handled internal method calls, it allowed an entirely unauthenticated incoming request to dictate which underlying PHP function should be executed on the server.
Oh, that's bad.
It's really bad. The plugin basically failed to check the caller's permission level. It didn't ask if the request was coming from a store administrator or just a random IP address scraping the internet.
Here's where it gets really interesting. So an attacker can just send a crafted request to this endpoint that bypasses the intended application logic entirely.
Yes.
They use this unauthenticated access to write their own malicious payload directly into the plugin's global settings in the WordPress database.
Right, into the database.
And once that payload is injected into the global configuration, the Funnel Builder plugin itself does all the heavy lifting for the attacker.
It does the work for them.
It obediently renders that malicious JavaScript into every single checkout page it generates across the entire storefront.
It's just brilliant in a very dark way. The elegance of the attack is that they never actually have to breach the underlying server operating system.
Right. They aren't hacking the Linux box.
Exactly. They aren't dropping malware on the host. They're simply tricking the application layer into adopting and serving their malicious code natively.
But, you know, if you are listening to this and you run an e-commerce site, you might be thinking, well, wouldn't I notice a giant block of obfuscated malicious code sitting right in my plugin settings?
You'd think so.
You would, but the answer is no, because of how attackers are leveraging digital camouflage.
Yeah, it's so sneaky.
They aren't leaving obvious red flags. They're planting the malicious payload inside the plugin's external scripts setting, and they are disguising it as a Google Tag Manager script.
And this is a classic hallmark of Magcart operations.
Right.
Magcart being the umbrella term for these cybercrime syndicates that specialize in digital credit card skimming.
Yeah.
They really understand the psychology of site administrators. When a developer or a store owner audits their site, they're visually scanning for anomalies.
They are looking for things that stand out.
Right. If they see a script block that begins with standard syntax referencing Google Analytics or Google Tag Manager, cognitive bias kicks in.
No, totally.
The brain just registers it as a known, trusted entity and skims right past it. It is a psychological exploit layered perfectly on top of a technical one.
It's like a thief walking right past bank security because they're wearing a uniform that says Google Analytics.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. The camouflage makes you invisible. But let's look at the payload itself. When an unsuspecting shopper goes to buy something, their browser executes that fake Google script.
Right.
And the script acts as a loader, reaching out to a remote domain and initiating a WebSocket connection to the attacker's command and control server. And I really want to emphasize why the use of WebSockets here is so insidious compared to like a standard HTTP POST request.
It's a huge difference because a standard HTTP request is inherently transactional.
Okay.
The browser sends the data, the server replies, and the connection closes. Boom. Done.
Right.
If an intrusion detection system is monitoring outbound traffic, a sudden HTTP POST containing credit card data going to an unknown Russian IP address is highly anomalous.
That's going to set off alarms.
It's very likely to be flagged.
But a WebSocket opens a persistent bi-directional communication channel. It's like a live wire held open between the victim's browser and the attacker's C2 server.
Exactly, a live wire.
And because WebSockets operate over standard web ports, and the traffic within that socket is often encrypted or, you know, heavily obfuscated by the attacker, it just blends seamlessly into the background noise of modern, highly interactive web applications.
It looks just like a chat widget or a live inventory counter.
Exactly.
And once that persistent connection is established, the C2 server dynamically delivers a custom-built skimmer directly into the browser's memory.
Wow.
And this skimmer is often tailored to the specific DOM, the document object model, of the victim storefront.
Oh, so it knows exactly what the site looks like.
Right, ensuring it hooks into the exact form fields used for checkout. So from that second forward, every single keystroke the shopper enters.
The credit card number, the CVV, the billing address.
All of it. It's captured and siphoned off in real time through the WebSocket.
So the shopper hits submit. The transaction processes perfectly normally.
Yep.
The store gets the order, the customer gets their confirmation email, and meanwhile, an exact carbon copy of their entire financial profile has just been beamed directly to a cartel.
It is a completely frictionless robbery.
It really is. If you are listening to this and you've bought a t-shirt or coffee from an independent online store recently, your browser might have opened a live wire to a cartel without you having any idea.
The seamlessness is the point.
Mm-hmm.
And this strategy of weaponizing the expected environment, it isn't limited to WooCommerce.
No.
The intelligence reports emphasize that this is a broad systemic tactic. The SANSEC disclosure specifically references a concurrent campaign detailed by Sucuri targeting Joomla environments.
Joomla is another massive content management system, and the backend campaign there is equally fascinating in its evasion techniques.
It's incredibly clever.
The Sucuri report outlines how attackers are backdooring these sites not with JavaScript, but with heavily obfuscated PHP code.
Right.
And the goal here isn't credit card skimming. It's to hijack the server's resources to secretly serve spammy content and manipulate search engine rankings.
SEO poisoning.
Yeah.
And the technical mechanics of how that PHP evades detection are incredibly sophisticated.
How does it work?
Well, the attackers aren't just dropping raw code into a file.
Okay.
They're utilizing complex obfuscation chains. So they often rely on native PHP functions like Base64 decode, combined with string manipulation and dynamically constructed execution commands.
Sounds like a puzzle.
It is. The code essentially unpacks itself in memory only when it runs, meaning a static malware scanner looking at the file on the hard drive only sees random, harmless-looking text.
Just gibberish.
Exactly.
And it gets even more targeted than that. To ensure the site administrator never actually notices the spam, the obfuscated PHP relies heavily on user agent sniffing.
Yes.
So it analyzes the incoming request. If the request comes from a regular user's browser or, you know, from the IP address of the site administrator, the backdoor stays completely dormant.
It plays dead.
Yeah. The site loads normally. The server load remains baseline.
But if the incoming request identifies itself as a search engine crawler like Googlebot or Bingbot, the backdoor springs to life.
It wakes up.
It wakes up. It dynamically generates and serves thousands of pages of spam content, injecting malicious backlinks right into the site's architecture.
Wow.
And the site owner is entirely unaware that their domain reputation is being hijacked to run an illicit SEO poisoning campaign, because they literally cannot see the spam when they visit their own website.
It's wild. So whether we are talking about a fake Google Tag Manager script silently siphoning CVVs over a WebSocket on a WordPress site, or deeply obfuscated PHP selectively serving spam to Googlebot on a Joomla server, the core strategy remains identical.
Exactly the same.
You don't break the system. You subvert its own logic. You hide in the noise and blend into the expected environment.
And this raises an important question about the fundamental nature of defense in depth.
Yeah.
When attackers are utilizing the very tools and protocols we rely on, GitHub tokens, WebSockets, PHP routing, analytics tags, how do security teams actually build perimeters?
It's a huge challenge. So what does this all mean? We have covered an immense amount of ground today. From the high-stakes extortion calculus of cloud observability platforms facing source code theft to the silent gig economy skimming of credit cards on local web stores.
A lot of ground.
Yeah. And if there is a unifying thread to this deep dive, it's that the digital supply chain we all rely on is built on a foundation of assumed trust.
Assumed trust, yeah.
We assume the session token is valid. We assume the external script with the familiar logo is benign. We assume the incoming HTTP request is just a normal customer.
And threat actors like Coinbase Cartel and these MagCart syndicates, they have optimized their entire business models to hunt for the exact moments where that assumption of trust leaves our infrastructure blind.
Which brings us to the immediate actionable intelligence from the sources today. If you are managing infrastructure, the mandate is zero trust.
Has to be.
And if you are running the Funnel Builder plugin on WordPress, you must verify you're on version 3.15.0.3 or higher.
Update immediately.
Update right now. But beyond patching, you really need to actively audit your environment. Go into your WooCommerce settings, navigate to the external scripts section, and do not let your brain skim past a tag just because it says Google.
Don't fall for the uniform.
Exactly. Verify the source. Verify the hash. If you didn't explicitly place it there yourself and you cannot account for its function, remove it.
Consider this as our final thought today. We have architected a digital ecosystem so complex that our reliance on visual cues and familiar branding has become a critical vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Attackers are no longer just exploiting code. They're exploiting our cognitive biases and our operational assumptions.
Right.
As we continue to integrate more third-party services and rely on automated pipelines, we really have to fundamentally redefine what it means to trust a digital interaction. We've seen attackers today use our most trusted everyday tools developer tokens and Google Analytics tags as their exact methods of camouflage. So the next time you approve a code commit or hit checkout on a storefront, ask yourself, in an environment where camouflage is perfect, how do you mathematically prove who exactly is standing on the other side of that transaction?
A deeply unsettling thought, but an absolutely necessary one for anyone navigating today's threat landscape. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the invisible supply chain. Keep questioning the systems you rely on, verify everything, and we'll catch you next time.